The first scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we stand together for the gospel reading? The gospel reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, 34 and 35. All together we say, "Glory to Christ our Savior." Verse 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. But if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Koichun, please sit. Well, good evening, church. Well, tonight we gather for Maundy Thursday, a holy night, a tender night, a night that brings us into the upper room. And in that room, we do not just see a meal. We see the heart of Jesus. Tonight, we are invited to slow down, to watch Jesus, to listen closely, to notice what love looks like when it is about to suffer. Because on this night, Jesus knows the cross is near. He knows his hour has come. He knows betrayal is in the room. He knows denial is coming. He knows his disciples will fear him, and yet he loved them. Not after they become faithful, not after they become brave, not after they get everything right. He loved them to the end, as verse 1 says. And, church, that is where authentic relationality begins. Not with our love for God, but with God's love for us. Tonight, through the table and the tower, Jesus showed us what real love looks like. Love that's welcome, love that serves, love that stays, love that goes low, and love that sends us out to do the same. So tonight, let us sit in this upper room and let Jesus show us how to love. So church, before we open God's word, let us commit this time to prayer. Let us pray. For Lord God, we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts tonight. Quiet what is noisy in us. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will strip away what is superficial. But most importantly, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will teach us again how deeply we are loved and how we are called to love one another. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, church, as we take a step back and reflect on this account in John chapter 13, we begin to notice this. Before the tower, there is the table. Before Jesus kneels, he gathers his disciples. Before he washes their feet, he welcomes them. And this matter, why? Because the first thing Jesus does on this holy night is not to give a lecture, not to correct his disciple, not to scold them for what is coming. He gives them a meal. He invites them to the table. And in the world of Jesus, that was never a small thing. In fact, it's a very big thing. Because in the ancient Jewish world, to eat with someone was to express acceptance, fellowship, peace, share life, belonging. People do not usually sit down and eat with just anyone. To share a table meant, I receive you, there is peace between us, you are welcome here. And that means when Jesus gathered his disciples that night, he is doing more than serving supper. He is actually opening his heart. He is drawing them near. He is saying to them, even now, you are still mine. And now notice this too. At that table that night, no one earned a seat. The table is not filled with worthy people. It's filled with weak people. Yes, also with people who love Jesus, but not nearly as much as they think they do. And still, Jesus set a place for them. Even for Peter. Even for Thomas. Even for the ones who will run away. And even for Judas. And perhaps that lands even deeper when we think of our own life. Because here in Singapore, I know my wife will do this. When we hold someone at home, we prepare carefully. No, we clean the house, we cook extra dishes, we want everything just right. But would we invite someone we know will disappoint us? Would we welcome them warmly? But Jesus opened the table even to those who will fear him. He feeds them, and that is love. Not love after. Not love after people have proven themselves, but before. Church, that tells us something very important about the heart of Jesus. The table of Jesus is not first a reward for the strong. It is not a prize for the holy. It is not a badge for those who have done well. When Jesus shared a meal with his disciple, he was not merely being kind. He was showing them that God's grace made room at the table. The table is a place of grace, a place of intimacy where you get close to God, a place of belonging, a place where broken people are welcome, a place where hungry souls are fed, a place where the undeserving are loved. And maybe for some of us tonight, that is hard to receive. Why? Because many of us have learned to live like this. We must be useful to be valuable. We must be strong to be accepted. We must hold ourselves together to belong. So we perform, right? We serve, we keep going, we stay busy, we showed up, we do the right things. And quietly, somewhere inside, we begin to believe that what keeps us close to God is our usefulness. But tonight, Jesus invites us to the table before we prove anything. Before the cross, before his disciple failure, before their repentance, before their restoration, Jesus feeds them first. Because this is how Jesus loves. He does not say, get yourself together, then come. He says, come, let me love you. Can the PowerPoint not moving? Oh, okay, good. Church, for some of us tonight, need to hear that again. We do not need to earn our seat at his table. We do not need to impress Jesus. We do not need to pretend we are stronger than we are. Because the table says, you are wanted here. You are remembered here. You belong here. And that is where authentic relationship begins. Not by trying harder to love God, but by receiving the love of God. Because before we can love like Jesus, we must first let Jesus love us. And that is why the table matters. At the table, remember that Christ gave himself for us, not because we are enough, but because his love is enough. The bread says, this is my body given for you. The cup says, this is my blood poured out for you. For you. Not just for the church. Not just for people. But for you. Personally. Tenderly. Fully. This is not general love. This is covenant love. A love that says, I know you. I see you. I stay with you, and I give myself to you. So tonight, church, before we think about what we must do for Jesus, let us first remember what Jesus had done for us. Because the Christian life does not begin with achievement. It begins with receiving, receiving from God. And the table teaches us this. We are love. We belong before we perform. And that changes everything. Because once we know we are welcomed by Jesus, we no longer serve to earn love. We are finally free to love because we have been loved. And that brings us to the second picture of this holy night. John tells us that Jesus rises from supper. He lays aside his outer garment. He takes a towel. He wraps it around him. He pours water into a basin. And he began to wash his disciples' feet. The same hand that broke the bread now washed his disciples' feet. The same Lord who says, "This is my body for you," now kneel before his disciples. This is not symbolic only. It is deeply personal. It is uncomfortable. It is humbling. It is love that goes low. Jesus began to wash their feet, dirty feet, tired feet, feet that have walked dirty road, feet that will soon run away. And in those days, foot washing was the lowest job, the work of the lowest servant. Today, it might feel like a CEO cleaning office toilet. Just imagine Pastor Tan Ming cleaning the church office toilet. I mean, it's shocking, right? As unexpected. And yet Jesus knew. The disciples were uncomfortable, especially Peter. And Peter cannot take it. He blurted out, "Lord, you shall never wash my feet." Because Peter still think, love move outward. The servant serving the master. But Jesus showed that love moves downwards. Love bends down. Love kneels. Love serves. And that is where it begins to touch us. Church, many of us are very good at serving. We organize church events. We lead ministry. We volunteer in community. We show up when needed. But we are not always very good at receiving care. No, we struggle. I admit it. We struggle. Right? To say, "I am tired. I need help. I am not okay." Instead, we say, "No, we are fine. Okay, I mean, we can manage." We keep functioning. We keep smiling. We keep going. Because all of us have spent most of our life learning how to be strong. We work very hard. We build our family. We carry responsibility. It is hard to admit that we need help. Sometimes asking for help feels like weakness. And honestly, we feel very paisa to ask for help. And yet, this is exactly where Jesus meet us. For he says, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." In other words, Jesus is saying, before you serve me, you must let me care for you. Let me serve you. Let me love you. Let me love your weakness. Allow me to cleanse you. Allow me to restore you. Allow me to love you. So tonight, the challenge is this. Will we let Jesus care for us? Our pride, our shame, our need to appear strong, our hidden weariness. Because only those who know they are loved can truly love others. Only those secure in God's love are free to serve without fear. And then Jesus says something very important. After washing their feet, Jesus tells them in verse 14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." In other words, the towel does not stay in Jesus' hand. Jesus places it into our hand. And Jesus says in verse 15, "For I've given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you." And then he reminds them in verse 16, "A servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Church, this means the Christian life is not just about coming to the table to be fed. It's also about taking up the tower to love. It means that if Jesus had knelt for us, we cannot keep standing above others. If Jesus has washed us, then we are called to become people who will gently, humbly, faithfully wash the feet of others. Not always literally, but relationally, emotionally, spiritually, and even practically. Sometimes feet washing looks like listening without rushing, showing up for someone who is grieving, sitting beside someone who feels forgotten, serving quietly without needing recognition, choosing patience when it will be easier to walk away. This is where we learn to love, not in grand moments only, but in low places, ordinary places, hidden places, power places. And this is authentic relationality. Not perfect people, not impressive faith, just real, ordinary people, deeply loved, deeply cared for by Jesus, and now learning to love one another the same way. And then Jesus says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Notice the order, which actually Pastor Tommy had pointed out last one or month before. Jesus loves first, then he commands. We do not love to earn God's approval or others' approval. We love because we have already received God's love. And then Jesus adds these sobering words in verse 35 to show us what to do with this love. "By this, all people will know you are my disciple if you have love for one another. Not by how modern our church building is, not by how excellent the music sounds, not by our program, not by how organized we are, not by our efficiency, not by our reputation, not by our excellence, but by love." And this love is not abstract. It is practical, visible, lived. It does not stay in this sanctuary. It goes home with us, into our family, into our workplaces, into the hawker center, into the ordinary rhythm of our daily life. This love showed up in small moments when we speak gently to an elderly parent, which I've gone through, my mother especially, who repeat the same story again and again and again. When we choose patience with a colleague who missed a deadline. When we forgive a family member who hurt us years ago. When we stay in a difficult conversation instead of walking away. This is love that looks like Jesus. Love that goes low, quiet, costly, faithful. This is love formed at the table and lived out with the tower. Church, hear this. The world does not need more impressive or high-performing Christians. It needs more love Christians. People who have sat long enough at the table to know they belong and are loved. People who have allowed Jesus to wash them, to heal them, to restore them. People who are willing to kneel, and perhaps tonight, That is the invitation Jesus is placing before us. Not first, will you do more? Not first, will you try harder? Not first, will you prove yourself? But rather, will you receive my love? Will you let me care for you? Will you allow me to meet you in your weariness, in your weakness, your need? And then, will you love others the same way? The beautiful truth is this. When we return, we can return to the table again and again, and to the tower again and again, to be loved, to be acknowledged, to be cared for, to be renewed. And then we rise and go and love. So tonight, church, receive Jesus' love. Be cared for by Jesus. And then rise and love one another as we have been loved. This is authentic relationality in action. Church, tonight, come, let us come again to the table. Not because we are worthy, but because Jesus is gracious. We come with our weariness. We come with our pride. We come with our hidden pain. We come with our need to be washed, to be fed, to be loved. And as we receive from Jesus tonight, may this also be our prayer. Lord, make us people of the tower. People who knows how to kneel, people who knows how to love, people who carry your heart into life of others. So, come church, come to the table, and let the love of Christ meet you there. Let us pray. Let's just pause for a moment, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we respond to His word personally. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for loving us even when we are weak and weary. Thank you for meeting us at the table and for kneeling before us with a towel. Thank you that you do not turn away from us in our weakness, in our failure, in our needs. But you welcome us. You wash us. You love us still. So Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will teach us to receive your love deeply and to share it freely. Give us grace to forgive, courage to serve, and strength to remain when it is hard. So Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will make us your hands and your feet in the world. Gird us in your love and wash us by your grace and send us up to love as you have loved us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.